Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, what's going on? This is Thomas Nicholas. Welcome to the Metal Groove with your host, Tombstone, Josh. What's up, everybody, and welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me, man. Happy Metal Monday. On this week's show, I'm going to be doing a double album review, talking about two bands that just dropped an album on the same day, and those two bands are Avenged Sevenfold and the Foo Fighters. And then I'm going to close out the show with some articles around these albums, and then a topic that I wanted to share with you guys as well. But before we dive into all of that, please make sure you guys like and subscribe to the show on any of the places that you're listening right now, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. You know, just go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. And if you're feeling extra giving, throw some stars at the show as well, man. Help us grow here. Help us reach some more folks, man. But just throw Metal Groove Podcast or the Thrill Bean Podcast Network into your Google machines, and all of our shows will actually pop up, and you can check all of us out, man. And like I said, man, we greatly, greatly appreciate the support. We got a Tee Public store as well, man. Come get you some sweet merch. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Okay, as for today's show, I tried really hard to take bias out of this. I'm a big fan of both of these bands. Especially the Foo Fighters. So what I really wanted to do was kind of look at this from a perspective of not letting their past catalogs sway me in either way. And that's the way I tried to say. I wanted to just let the song speak to me and give my opinions based on this album alone. I will rely a little bit on what I feel and what I think about the bands and maybe some of their older stuff, but I didn't want that to be the only way I judge these albums. So I just wanted to kind of look at them as a fresh start and just let my opinion go from there, man. So in my opinion, the easiest one to judge, I'm going to start with first, and that's going to be the Foo Fighters. Their brand new album is called But Here We Are, because that's where we are. We are right here. The Foo Fighters, man, they don't miss. And if I have to compare them in any way, they're like Taylor Swift. And that there is a formula, and that formula will always work. The songwriting always is good. Now, every album is not going to be perfect. Not every song is going to be amazing. But I tell you what, man, they're pretty damn close. And, I mean, if you just look at the comparison of the formula, I said Taylor Swift has this, you know what I mean? She has this songwriting prowess about her where every song she's going to knock out of the park, and she has a dedicated section, it seems like, for each song to be crafted a certain way that they are always going to be hits. The Foo Fighters, I feel like they have that the same way, man. The way Dave Grohl can write a song. Dave Grohl's like a fisherman, man. He has hooks. He has more hooks than a fisherman, actually, if you want to go about that, man. But this album is awesome. It's one that I've listened to quite a few times over and over. I've gone back to the live stream just to hear the live versions of the song being played, and they sound just as good live as they do on the album, and that's no surprise. I love it, man. I love the album. Specific things I love about this album: Dave Grohl recorded every drum track on this thing, and I love that already, man. Classic Dave Grohl grooves, classic Dave drum fills are all over this thing, and I'm in love with it, man. I love it so much. There's a little bit of Beatles influence. I'm not a giant Beatles fan, but some of the Beatles influence is sprinkled throughout this album, especially on a song like Beyond Me. Plus, there's a guitar solo in that song, which is not unheard of, but is rare in the Foo Fighters universe. Probably my favorite song in the album is going to be Under You. The line in it where it's just where he says, "Over it, I think I'm getting over it." It just kind of speaks to me in a way that, you know, something... it's just so meaningful, man. That's all we can do when something affects us, is we can just get over it and we can deal with it and just push on the best way that we know how. I really do love that song, man. That's been on repeat for me lately. Dave's daughter, Violet, lends some of her vocals to the song Show Me How. I absolutely love that, man. She sounds amazing on the track. There's a song called The Teacher. It's a masterclass of songwriting that just weaves in and out of different emotions. And I feel like you can just listen to the song. It's a long one, but it's awesome, man. You can't get through it without feeling all kinds of different ways. And I really enjoy it, man. So The Teacher is a really kick-ass song. And then there's a song called Rest. And I feel like that's Dave pulling on every one of our heartstrings at one time. He's like one of those people that has those giant balloons at theme parks, just walking around with a whole bunch of strings and a whole bunch of balloons attached to it. And those balloons are our hearts, man. And he's pulling on every single one of them. The line that says, rest, you can rest now. Rest, you will be safe now. And then I just feel like you can add in whatever character in your life that has been battling something. And unfortunately, since their battle is over, they can rest now, man. And just kind of, even now, I feel emotional talking about it, thinking about how this album is dedicated to his mom and how it's dedicated to Taylor Hawkins and you know, how they can rest now. And it's such a beautiful way, a way of putting it and looking at life in a way of, you know, you did your best to get through life. And it might have been a struggle, but now you can rest and enjoy your afterlife. So I feel like that was a perfect closer to the album. And I feel like it was just an album that had to be very trying to put together and just get through, man. So I applaud Dave Grohl and the whole Foo Fighters van for putting on this fantastic album that I really, really enjoy. So if you haven't yet, I would highly recommend you guys check out that brand new Foo Fighters album and just vibe with the Foo Fighters like only they know how to vibe, because it's awesome, man. The album is awesome. If I had to give it a ranking system, 1 out of 5 stars, I will say that this is a 4.8, man. I really dig it, and I've listened to it quite a few times. Okay, moving on to the next one, and this one is a little bit of a, this one was tough, man. I had to let this one marinate for a little while. I listened to the album front to back quite a few times just to try and see if I could help get my thoughts through it. Maybe it needed to stew for a little while, but the album is Avenged Sevenfold's Life is But a Dream. And I guess I'm going to start by relating this one to food, because I love food and I love music. But sometimes the recipe just isn't right, or it wasn't put together. Somebody added too much of one thing and it just didn't mesh well together. Kind of like dips. We all love dips, right, man? So if you think about a 7-layer dip, or in this case, an 11-layer dip, because that's how many tracks are on the album. You don't want a scoop that's too much of something. Like, you don't want to go for a scoop and it be like all refried beans. Or like, you want to go in for a scoop and it's all sour cream. You know what I mean? You want that nice, perfect mix of just deliciousness. You know what I mean? And I feel like the recipe just wasn't put together properly for my tasting. Okay? For my musical palate, this one just didn't land well for me. It's like some of these songs, like, I couldn't get behind any one of these songs. I mean, maybe the last track I could be 100% on board with, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I mean, each one of these songs has an element of genius to it, because these guys are fucking geniuses, man. Their musical prowess and putting songs together sometimes is top notch, man. They're super, super talented guys. Like, some of these songs to me felt like, going back to the dip, like, I scoop, oh, was that too much onion I got there? What the heck, what was that? Like, that's just how some of these songs felt to me, man. And after the week I've had listening to it off and on, I can go ahead and say I'm pretty sure that this is probably not an album I'm going to want to revisit again. It's just odd. It's quirky. It's all over the place. And I know it's supposed to be a concept album. And I mean, you could call me dumb or uncultured or say that my musical palate is jacked up. But listening to music for me shouldn't be a puzzle, man. You know, like, I shouldn't have to be putting all these pieces together trying to figure shit out before I can enjoy a song. And that's just, I mean, put it this way. When the first thing that comes to mind after listening to this album is a line from Friends.
I wasn't supposed to put beef in the trifle.
Then I think that sums up my thoughts on the album completely right there, man. And I'm not spewing hate. I mean, I love Avenged Sevenfold. I know that hate gets the clicks and saying negative things gets a response. Then that's what people look for sometimes. That's not what I'm going for, man. I'm a big fan of Avenged Sevenfold. It's one of my brother's all-time favorite bands, which he's probably going to give me shit for this review, actually. But me and him just did a top 10 songs list of Avenged Sevenfold. We reviewed that song, Nobody, and I felt like listening to that song was a catalyst of, man, this album is probably going to be something I'm not going to enjoy. And it turned out that's what it was, man. This album just is not for me. But I will say that it's gotten some great reviews from some other folks. I mean, hell, some people in the biz, some big ups, some big magazines and websites have given this thing some great reviews. So maybe I'm the dummy, but like I said, it's just my opinion. This album did not land for me. Few things I did like about the album: the song Mattel, which is based after the toy company. It's pretty cool, man. It's a pretty cool song. It's heavy, but it's kind of theatrical at the same time. I felt like that's one of the songs I could really get behind and enjoy. The song Life Is But a Dream is just a simple piano track. There's really not much else going on, man, and maybe that's why I like it so much. If this album is a dream to say, then the track Life Is But a Dream is when you wake up and you're back to reality, and that reality being that maybe the next album these guys make will be better, man. And I'm not saying these guys aren't talented. I'll say that all day long. Hell, if you were to put together a super group of current musicians, you could argue that Brooks Wackerman and Sinister Gates would have to be on the short list of consideration for people that would make up part of that super group, because they are just so talented. And their work alone, the drums and guitar work alone on this album are kind of the savior for me, man. Going back to the rating system like I did for the Foo Fighters earlier, if it was not for the amazing guitar and drum work on this, I would probably give this a 1.9 would probably be my review or my star rating. But because of what they did and because of the respect and the love I have for some of the things going on, you know, this album, I can probably bump it up to a 2.5. Doesn't save it completely, but that is just my thoughts, my opinion on the album. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys love it, and that keeps Avenged Sevenfold going. But man, come on, let's get back to that stuff from back in the day that I just love, man, because I would love to hear them come up with an album, especially with Brooks at the helm now with drums, just kind of get back to that classic metal Avenged Sevenfold sound. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I will say that I did hear elements of Rush and System of a Down kind of sprinkled in this album as well, and I really enjoyed that, man. I love that they're reaching, they're going for it, man. Like I said, this is a concept album, and they are really, really going for it. Just missed the bullseye for me, man. But hey, it's all subjective. I hope you guys enjoyed it, man. But yeah. Okay, let's take a break real quick. We're going to play a song, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about an article that was dropped by the bass player for Avenged Sevenfold talking about where the band might go in the future. And then another topic I wanted to share with you guys. But hey, let's crank it up. Let's get to a song, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
ocean. We crack but we don't break. Heavy's the ocean.
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 Welcome back into the show. That was Bush with a little song called Heavy is the Ocean. And man, I completely forgot that Bush put out a brand new album last year. I was only reminded because when I was going through album releases for the month of June, the deluxe edition of that album made the list. And I actually seen some people were listening to it and pretty stoked on it. And that song's pretty awesome, man, which shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Back in the day, man, Bush was as cool as the other side of the pillow, man. So yeah, that song not too shabby. I hope you guys enjoyed it. All right, let's dive into a little bit of news surrounding the album I just talked about, which was Avenged Sevenfold's Life is But a Dream. Their bass player, Johnny Christ, just came out and said, we don't know if we're going to do a full album again. We've talked about this on the show before. It does seem like the land of music is trending towards just releasing singles. But as a music fan, in the realm of some bands like to tell a story, I still feel like albums play an important part in the landscape of a musical catalog, man. But during an appearance on the June 6th episode of Whiplash, Avenged Sevenfold bassist Johnny Christ reflected on the unusual marketing of the band's 2016 album, The Stage, which after listening to this recent album, went back and listened to The Stage just to kind of be like, man, is this the way they were going? But no, man, The Stage was a phenomenal album, and I really, really dug it, man. It just kind of, for me, this was a misstep, but I've already talked about that. But moving on, the surprise release of the disc, which was announced the night it went on sale in October of that year, earned the lowest sales of an Avenged Sevenfold album in 11 years. Asked on the show why those guerrilla tactics wouldn't work now for Avenged Sevenfold's latest album, Life is But a Dream, Johnny went on to say, I don't know that they worked then, though, to be honest. It was just something we wanted to try. Every time we do something, it is with full intent, he explained. We decided at that moment in 2016, we were tired of the same rollout from the label or whoever was involved. You got to release a single and it's got to live there and that long, and you got to come out and do this and do that. And we were just like, why can't we just shake things up a little bit and try something new? Knowing full well, to be honest, that we probably wouldn't have great first week or whatever, it would kind of shock some people. But we thought that the shock would eventually start the snowball effect and would get some people to come around to the record and at least get some eyes on it. I mean, even the release of this record to this day, you'll see that it wasn't a traditional drop. We did a really cool scavenger hunt with the guys over at Death Bats Club through some Web3 stuff. And then it was all to get Nobody as the first single. And then flash forward a few months later, we're going to try the only song you hear until we release the whole album. And there's a little bit of different these days, at least for our genre, it seems. A lot of the bands are dropping 3 to 4 to 5 singles, and then the album comes out. To us, we just wanted this album in its entirety to be special and not to just be singled out. We called Nobody the single, but it's really just our first track. Christ went on to add, we want this to be a full experience as an album. It sure as hell is an experience. I'll give them that, man. But we don't know if we're going to do a full album again. To be honest, we might do singles and eventually, you know, later on in career. At this moment, this is our body of work that we want everyone to kind of get at the same time and experience it from one track to 11. And I think that's what this has been important to us, is the way we release things to the public. And it's not because we're hoity-toity. It's actually a quote here. And think we're better than other artists or anything like that. It's just we have a certain way we communicate with our fans and have done for the last 20 plus years. And we like to keep things intact and always come up with a fun way of releasing it. Just like our music, we're always challenging ourselves to try new things in our music, so why stop there? Let's think about how we can do something fun and release some stuff like that. And I think that's really came back to the way we release a stage. We had this grandiose idea that we could do it. It might not be accepted the right way, but the cool thing is what we wanted to do. Life is But a Dream was written and recorded over a span of 4 years, and it was produced by Joe Baresi and Avenged Sevenfold in Los Angeles. And Avenged Sevenfold made its first festival appearance in 5 years on May 19th at Welcome to Rockville. The band's set list included 3 songs, Life is But a Dream, Game Over, We Love You, and Nobody. Okay. I understand what he's saying and always wanting to be different. And that's cool. I mean, hey, go for it if that's what you want to do, man. But I believe in the grand scheme of things, I feel like Avenged Sevenfold will probably release a new record, because I just feel like that's what they should do, man. At least that's what I would do if I was them. But we do know that they're going to do whatever the hell they want, whether it stinks or not, man. So so good on them. And props. If they do release singles only, hey, man, they're going to be awesome, too. They're going to be popular because that's what they do. Avenged Sevenfold puts out stuff. Good for them. But moving on, okay, the topic for this week's show is going to be a short one, and it really just kind of came to me out of nowhere. It was an article that popped up on my feed, and it kind of annoyed me because I was like, man, it really does suck that this happens in the metal community. And then I started to think about it. Man, it happens in every community, whether it's the Disney community, horror movie community. I mean, it's everything that there's fans of something of, there's gatekeeping going on. And this article jumped at me, and I was like, you know what, let me check it out. Let's see if this guy makes any good points. And then I wanted to share my thoughts and then extend it to you guys out there so that maybe you guys will give me your thoughts. But Suicide Silence guitarist defends gatekeeping, and he explains why it is a good thing. Can gatekeeping in metal actually be a good thing? Or in any community? Let's see what this guy has to say about it. Suicide Silence guitarist Mark Hellemum argues in favor of the practice and even contends that it helps make the metal scene stronger in the long run, but for some reasons that are rarely mentioned. In 2023, gatekeeping looks quite a lot different than it used to now that fans have limitless resources. Prior to the arrival of the internet, music fans had to rely on trusted sources and media to steer them in the right direction and to help them inform their purchases. One big problem with this is that some promising bands were never given a fair shake. Their fate were left in the hands of few critics and a few editors. Now fans are a part of the gatekeeping more than ever, with everyone weighing in on social media and various online forums. There's a certain desire to police the scene and protect it from bands perceived as unworthy, which all feels kind of silly. But all of this back and forth can fortify the scene. My hot take, the guitar player says, is that gatekeeping makes the scene stronger. Backing up his statement, he reasons, I know that sounds weird, but if you don't have people talking shit and saying this is or this is not, then you don't have the other side saying yes, this is, or fuck, this is awesome, or it just kind of creates this conversation that makes the scene stronger. I've seen that since I was young, and I've been a part of that. Basically, if there Are naysayers present, the opportunity for others to speak out against the gatekeeping creates an organic moment that demonstrates there are supporters for whatever music is caught in the crosshairs. There's strength in numbers, especially for the downtrodden, and arguing about which band is better than another or which bands do or don't suck has always been part of what engages the metal community. Metalheads are still hashing out who's better, Iron Maiden or Judas Priest. Suicide Silence, who most recently released Remember You Must Die, are a band who has experienced both sides of gatekeeping dilemma. Deathcore was a largely panned genre when it first bubbled up with Suicide Silence among the leaders of the pack. Later in 2017, the group released a divisive self-titled album that marked a radical change in styles. Some fans defended the bold move while others vented frustration about the direction. As for what Helmum wants to do next creatively, he adds, where my head is at right now, I want to try and write more epic compositions on You Can't Stop Me and Become the Hunter. Even though there was a record in between where we experimented like crazy, I feel like we wrote the same record twice. I want to write the deathcore Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay. All right. So those are his thoughts on the gatekeeping, and I kind of see where he's coming from there. It does seem like you rely, at least when it comes to me and my friend groups, just going back to the horror community thing, I'm going to rely on what my brother says is good and then check it out. It's rare that I'm going to stumble across a horror movie and you know, decide, hey, this is the one I want to watch just on my own. I'm not going to do that. I'm normally going to take like some suggestions from some friends. And I think that's kind of, I guess that's kind of the track I'm on, man. I don't want to gatekeep in any kind of way. If you like what you like, then I appreciate you and I hope you enjoy it. If I like something, I'm going to tell you about it. And if you don't like it, then oh well, I'm not going to be a complete pain in the ass about it or argue with you about it. And I guess in that way, I'm passive. But yeah, gatekeeping, it's everywhere. It's in any kind of community you can think of. And I think it sucks. I think everybody should just have their own interpretation of what they enjoy and what they love and then just kind of share that with the world. I don't think there should be kind of any argument going on. So I don't think that I necessarily agree with this guy, but I can see where he's coming from. But yes, tell me what your guys' thoughts is on gatekeeping in the metal community and the music community, movies, theme parks, anything like that. It just seems like there's always some asshole that wants to argue with you about everything. And I guess in this guy's case, he thinks that's what keeps the scene fresh. But I'll just say I disagree with him. Let me know what your guys' thoughts are on the metal gatekeeping community or any of those things that I just went over. But yeah, that's the show for this week. That's the topic I wanted to share with you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope you guys enjoyed that song. And but yeah, we're going to be back next week. I got a fun thing in store for you guys next week. It's going to be kind of weird. It's going to be off the track. But I'm going to enjoy it because, hey, it's something I like, and I'm not trying to be gatekeepy. But anyways, this was the Metal Groove Podcast this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Once again, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe. Be a friend, tell a friend, share this show with your friends, and let's grow this bad boy out, man. But until next week, I hope you guys have a fantastically good time. Stay safe, stay metal. We'll see you next week. That's the show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Hey, be a friend, tell a friend. Please like and share this and join us over at the Thrill Me Podcast Network on Facebook and YouTube. Be sure to check out Haunter's Podcast, The Review at Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Zach's Speakeasy as well. This incredible lineup is brought to you by the Thrill Me Podcast Network. And hey, until next time, stay metal.